does anybody else, while Teresa's getting the recording on, does anybody else have anything they want to say? Or because if not, I think I'm going to probably mute everybody and we're going to begin. Because it feels like, okay, it's time now.
Okay.
You got it?
Yep.
Okay, good. I'm gonna mute everybody. And you just, Teresa, you just unmute yourself, and if you, for some reason, don't in a second, I will unmute you.
It's star six.
Star six, yes.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome. So. Got it?
I'm back.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, yeah, I'm glad you're doing the other recording, then that's good. So what the reason I felt like it was like, okay, it's time to actually start recording this, because what I really got is that whole dynamic that God started. See, I was in Family Constellations all weekend, and then you were dealing with this on Facebook and all of that, and it feels to me like this is a huge, huge session going toward healing the collective rift around all the different religions and our dogmatic perceptions of God and how we limit ourselves and actually even limit the God that we believe in. So this is really about coming to this place of unity and this place of heart, this place of heart space. Mm-hmm. And it feels like this is going to go a long way in that. And one thing you didn't hear either, Teresa, is this is the two-year anniversary of these sessions.
Yes, I was aware of that. You're right, I didn't hear it, but I was aware of that.
I wasn't aware of it until on the way home. I was driving home from Family Constellations. I thought, oh, it's been 2 years. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like this is going a long way in healing that collective rift and bringing us back to our heart space and being able to be connected by heart. And one person that was on the line, and I won't mention her name just in case she doesn't want it to be mentioned, but one of the things that she wanted to work on was her codependentness and her needing to please the people-pleaser part, wanting to let go of that people-pleasing part. And what I got from that was that is just coming from this dynamic of at the cellular level, we know we are connected. We know we need to be connected, but we feel so not connected, so disconnected, that we go into these codependent patterns and we immediately put ourselves in the background of our own lives. And so we say, well, okay, I don't have any needs, or I'm not worthy of having any needs. But I think it's a collective misunderstanding of the interdependence of life. We do need each other. We do have needs. And it's about the fact that we actually aren't acknowledging the fact that we have needs and recognizing those needs and meeting them ourselves or having them met by external people or sources, that we come from this place of neediness, which distorts into this kind of perverted codependence, when what we really long for is connection at the heart level and interdependentness, this sense of global community. I'd even go bigger, further than to say global community, but for right now, we deal with the global community.
Well, the what you're saying around interdependentness, that's very different from codependency, and that is a place that I think we're creating the opportunity to move into.
Yeah, it's about recognizing, hey, we need each other, guys, you know? We even in our day-to-day survival needs and just the sense of touch through our senses, we need touch and we need to be touched. We need to be able to feel on some level. There's this sense of actually what I'm seeing right now is like this big black hole. So many of us have only felt this big black hole and misunderstood it as this sense of we're a big black hole,
mm-hmm.
And not in a quantum space kind of way, kind of like this big black hole sucking vortex. And so we have this kind of like we're reaching out, like trying to rescue ourselves, but from this place of misunderstanding our core identities.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's about reconnecting to that core identity, reconnecting at the heart not dissing the stories of our lives, not dissing our, what brought us to where we are right now, but not recreating it over and over and over again. The stories got us here. They're part of our history, but they're not to be relived, and we are stuck in this loop of reliving, which is, again, about healing and mending the past and coming from this place of present, here and now.
Mm-hmm.
You're up.
Yeah, and it's that place of being present that is coming up around that is like we're doing some repair work through the nervous system, and the piece that is being focused on is the it's really that peripheral nervous system, the somatic aspect of it, that allows us to really be able to feel life, experience life, be present to the body and in the body, because that when we're really present in the body, then we sense our needs and we respond accordingly, as opposed to living in fear from the head. And so there's a, so it's like we're working with that whole functional thinking of the nervous system and really doing some cellular repair work through there,
mm-hmm.
like updating it. That's what it feels like.
Yes.
It's like we're doing an update of the whole, of the nervous system. And the piece that's also that's coming into play, it's like there's this collective, that's not even true so much, but it's like there's been such a, like there's this concept that says I have to do it all myself.
Yeah.
And the belief says, you know, it's like the belief system says I have to do it all myself. I can't ask for help. I have to do it all myself. I have to be perfect. It's all those beliefs that are really BS, and don't serve us at all. And at the same time, they're running the story. They're running the story that says I have to do it all myself, which then says that I'm separate from. Because if I feel like I have to do it all myself, then I must be separate from.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so we're really balancing to oneness, actually, and to recognize the not being separate. And in that, we're also balanced. It's like there's a core belief of that is around lack of trust, that I can't trust in life. I can't trust in God,
mm-hmm.
which, again, creates separation.
Yes.
And keeps us from reaching out and saying, you know, I need help here. Or keeps us from being able to really connect and instead go into codependency.
Yes.
Because because the codependency is about not trusting in life, it's about not trusting in God, and that renders a person powerless. So we're just balancing out that whole aspect. And there's also this other thing around, in order, the only way I can make myself worthy is if I try really hard enough.
Yeah.
And we find that in all walks of life and in all ages. And so we really want to take these belief systems and say, you know, these are just beliefs. They're not me. You know, and they no longer serve me. I can choose to let them go. So it's like when coming into that place of fear, whatever the fear is, dropping into what's behind that and then recognizing, okay, there's a belief here, and then there's me. And I am not my belief. You are not your belief. It's only a belief. The perception makes us believe that we're the belief, but we're not really. And so that goes back to the place of balancing the thymus and the aspect of the thymus that allows us to accept ourselves, to really accept ourselves, accept others, accept life, and love ourselves, love others, love life, and be reinforced with energy and vitality. And it's the balance of that being open and being protected. It doesn't have to be the defensiveness. It can just be fully present. Because when we're fully present, there's no way that fear can reside. There is only trust. And there's part of this hesitation that says, but I can't be present because then I go into the no mind and I don't plan my future. It's not about that. It means being fully present with each plan, being fully present with your thought, being fully present with your action, whatever that action is that you're doing, being fully present with each aspect of your life. Because when we are present, then we can drop into trust. Because it's almost like there's this addiction to... It's like the collective consciousness doesn't know who they are without the fear.
Well, yeah, because that whole consciousness of separation is there, and there is a sense of I can't rely. It's interesting because here's the contradiction going on. I can only believe in what I sense. But I can't rely on my senses.
Exactly.
So it's like one step forward, two steps back. It's like, and it goes very much to that repair of the nervous system you were talking about. It's fascinating. I just watched a show called How the Earth Created Man. And it was like confirming all of this stuff we've been studying and learning all of these years. But basically, it was identifying body parts that they're associating with our own evolution. And our nervous system has not caught up with our own evolution. We still are running for our lives. We're still afraid. Our biggest fear right now is our fear of death, our fear of extinction. And it comes from that biological history of, on some level, we know it's coming because they've even done scientific studies and had like five almost near extinctions. And actually they even pointed out there was one time 70,000 years ago, no less, that there were only maybe 2,000 humans on Earth. Now, how they know this for sure, I don't know. But at our biological level, whether this is true or not, the story is there. So it's programming. It's like we need to unplug from that programming, but we're too afraid to unplug from that programming because if we unplug from that programming, then
we don't know who we are.
We cease to exist. So the fear of extinction, the fear of death, and not even just death, the fear of total annihilation and extinction is so ingrained in our nervous system and in our cell walls and cellular makeup that this is what we want to cleanse. We want to cleanse of this fear of extinction so we can trust. It's like the umbrella for this session tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very much. Connection and
yeah, it is. Yeah, the other piece that's coming up right now is balancing the right and the left hemispheres of the whole brain. The balance of the masculine and the feminine.
And something to do with the throat. I like feel like I'm holding my throat. It's like this.
I am too.
Really? Okay.
It's like right behind the trachea.
Yes.
And it's almost like that sense of being choked on life.
Yeah.
You know, so, it's like if I actually, you know, it's like the holding back of the full expression of life.
It's like if I swallow one more thing, I'm going to vomit, or I can't swallow one more thing.
Yeah.
So that is the repression of self. It's like I can't swallow.
One more thing.
Swallow one more thing, which means I need to express, but I just don't know what I'm expressing. And there's a fear of expressing the wrong thing. And this is coming out into the dogma and the doctrines of morals. And this is all.
Well, the interesting thing, though, when you look at the whole aspect of expression, we're always expressing whether we realize it or not.
Absolutely.
And so why not have a conscious expression versus an unconscious one?
Part of that is, you asked that question, part of the reason is there has been that deep, dark unconsciousness to where there is a fear of expressing because consciousness has been so overridden, overshadowed by that subconscious, subconscious, unconscious belief. And I just feel like I'm like doing Teresa, but it's like okay, my hands are unwinding something.
Yeah, it feels like behind the whole trachea, there's an unwinding that's happening.
Exactly, like opening it up from the trachea up towards the top and out, and down from the bottom or down from the trachea out the bottom too.
Yeah, it's like the whole aspect of eliminating suppressed communication.
Yes, totally clearing that channel, clearing that passageway. So this feels like it's not just communication. It's like for anybody out there that has that whole indigestion and acid reflux, and I can't stomach anything more, I can't swallow anything more. It's really working with that whole channel.
Mm-hmm.
Of clearing the pathway so that you can actually discover who you are and be excited about it and then be able to express it. Because that's what's been missing. There's been such a fear that's been, the self has been so, the true self has been so overshadowed that it's like monsters in the dark, and there's a fear of exploring in that darkness because there's a fear of what am I going to find? It's going to eat me. It's going to kill me. It's going to be me, and I'm going to be the one eating and killing. So there's this huge misunderstanding of who am I? And so it's by, like, literally I see turning on the light and opening up the channel is going to help us receive more nourishment and help us express more nourishing aspects of ourselves. So we will nourish and be able to be nourished and nourish more fully, more holy. More holy, I love that, more holy. WHOLLY and HOLY.
Right.
That's going right into the gut, into the neuropeptides, and again, that's part of that reprogramming at the molecular level, actually, at the neuropeptides, at the center for willpower.
Yeah, and there's a balancing of the pericardium meridian at the same time around relationship with self and others, and the self-expression of joy, acceptance of who you are. Ability and willingness to be vulnerable and to drop armoring.
Yes.
Because the vulnerability is necessary for growth. Necessary
well, actually, there's
for maturity.
There's another thing. There's a misunderstanding that vulnerability is being weak.
And it's not at all.
It's actually very courageous. Takes a great deal of strength to be vulnerable because then that is stepping into your true empowerment. And here's another fear that's coming up, and it's the fear of actually being powerful. So there is a fear of our own self-empowerment because, again, that whole fear of somehow it will be evil.
Yeah, and I think I've shared this before on this call, but it's coming up again. But it's that image of a crab, and mm-hmm. in order for when a crab has to grow, as it grows, it has to completely let go of its current shell.
Yeah.
And it has to be on a rock, fully vulnerable and present, and it's the sunshine in its complete vulnerability that allows it to grow, allows it to harden its new shell. But it can't grow if it doesn't let itself become fully exposed.
That's a beautiful imagery. And that happens in nature all the time. So it's like, here's the nature. So it said the nature spirits are going to be coming in. Because, and here's the aspect, that's part of the separation. We think we're separate from each other, from the earth, from God. And that whole, it's about trusting that nature is so resilient, is so alive. It has a way of, it comes back from, a fire and new growth comes. So it literally allows itself to be burned, to be transmuted, to be transformed. And there's an inner deepening trust that it just is. So it's about tapping into that inner trust, into that nature energy, into our essential nature, which is not a hostile, violent race. It is simply our old programming and the fear playing out as predator-prey and that whole lack mentality. So it's about shedding the skin of predator-prey energy, lack mentality, and stepping into fresh new skin, fresh, new, vital life, and trusting that the water is going to nourish your skin and that the food is going to feed you and that there is plenty for everyone and that nothing is a victim. Nothing is a victim. Everything is in harmony. Everything supports life. And we are part of life. So it's about recognizing we are part of life. We do not have to fight for life. We have to acknowledge we are connected and part of life. Mm-hmm. That feels really, really wonderful, actually, almost juicy.
Mm-hmm.
Disconnectedness that people experience has to do with, talking about life on Earth or being on Earth, and Earth is who gives us all these capabilities of living, and yet we're so unconnected to it. And when we talk about God as the overall, first we have to connect to Earth to be able to connect to God as well, because if God created the Earth that we're living off, then connect to Earth so we can be part of God. And since we're so independent, or being taught to be independent through society, we disconnect ourselves from everything and everybody in so many ways, yet we yearn so much to be connected and belong. That's why we run to churches. That's why we run into groups. That's why we run to these places to find connectiveness. Yet we're not connected. So it is connected. And we speak about oneness. We are one, not just in the personal level, but also on the sub-level, and especially to Mother Earth. You wake up, you step on her. And so feel the connectedness, not just through your feet, but the connectedness of that's what gives us life, that what gives us love, that what gives us the nourishment, that what gives us the opportunity to connect to one and each other. that gives us a connectedness to God. And through, we always throw that earth away. We abuse it. And so if you abuse earth, you abuse yourself. And if you abuse yourself and earth, you abuse God. So find that connectiveness and identify yourself with earth. 70,000 years ago, 2,000 men and women living under earth, surviving for the survival of it. And just imagine, like, okay, so don't step away too far from this earth. Just be part of it. Be part of yourself. Find that trust that you're looking for. Seek it in yourself and then connect it to earth, which is already inevitable there. You can't deny it. If you deny it, then you deny yourself. Then you deny the oneness. Then you deny God. It sounds very simple. It is very simple, but it's we make it too complex. When we make it too complex, it becomes difficult, and then we come to fear of it because we don't understand it. And when we don't understand it, we're lost. And then we're lost children again. And then we need God to find it again. It's like it becomes a cycle. It's simple. It starts with you. It starts with earth. With every breath. With every tree.
I think that's really beautifully said, Norman. And there's a piece that's coming up around that, too, that has to do with the addiction to complexity.
Oh, yes. That's the brain.
It is the brain. And it also creates validation for life being hard, for the belief that life has to be hard.
Yes.
And it really doesn't.
No.
So again, you know, working on clearing out that belief.
The Course in Miracles, it doesn't have to be painful, but it's experienced that way. So it's like, you know, it's just our perceptions that make it hard. But when we come to this place of simplicity within ourselves, and simplicity doesn't mean we have to give everything away and we have to live without nothing. Simplicity means living simply in the moment, being present to whatever shows up in your life and gratefully accepting it and acknowledging its role in your own development. In our own evolution.
Talk about complexity, complicated. But if you talk about simplicity and simpleness, then go into your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because the heart, if you look at it itself, the heart is built out of four ventricle spaces that go in and out. If you look at the brain, there's quite a bit of elements involved, which makes it very complex and has a lot of functions. The heart space is only in, out. And pump in, pump out. And the brain has much more. So, yes, we need the brain to be a complex being. But when we go into that brain space, trying to figure out oneness, then you get lost. Because the space, the brain is like the space. It's like the universe. It's humongous.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look in your brain, you think too much. And when you think, you get lost. But when you enter back into your heart space, into the oneness, then it's much, much easier to find the answers and be you, be
there's peace.
There's peace, yes.
There's peace. In the heart.
Flubbed up.
Part of what's coming up right now is it's a balancing of the ethmoid bone,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's the place where we actually receive information. And at its purest form. And then once we receive it, you know, it travels through the fascia for conduction and transmission, and the meridians help to filter it and organize around our belief systems and go into this and then move into the sphenoid where there's actual integration, and then it's in the sphenoid area that we project out, which is why it's so important that that the breath cycle be at ease and full, so that in the projection, we're projecting with ease and flow.
And that actually is coming up with what you're saying. Just before you mentioned that, what showed up was environmentally money.
Mm-hmm.
Money right now is such a scapegoat. Energetically, it's like, and I'm rubbing my eyes for some reason as I'm saying this, like rubbing the orbits around my eyes and the zygomas. But it's kind of like money has, it's not just a scapegoat, it's kind of like a, it's become burdened. Money itself has become burdened because it's become a scapegoat, it's become a tool to isolate and separate. And we've addressed this before in a different way, but it's coming up a little bit deeper and a little bit more clearly that it's like time to let that go. And that doesn't mean let go of money. That means let go of the isolating factor of money. Allow the currency to flow, which means allow the currency between hearts to flow, and allow that energy that we use as money and our energy source in this world to, it's coming back to trust. But the flow is like very, very important, because it feels like a stopgap right now, like a roadblock.
Well, the piece that's with that, Debbie, that's coming up is that it's not even about the money, okay?
No.
And part of that is, you know, a lot of people say, I want to make more money. I want to be able to do this. I want to be able to do that. Why I'm doing all the right things. Why aren't I able to bring in more money? Well, if everything comes down to the level of deserving, the conscious mind says, well, maybe I must not think I deserve money, when in actuality, it's not about the money. It's about all the things that money brings you.
Yes, and yet, but money is still a strong precursor to that, because, I mean, like, even from the perspective of there doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, you can have a healthy flow of relationship with money or not. Fearful relationship.
Yeah.
So it's about life.
Well, it is, and that's why I said it's that, that's what I'm saying, that's just a representation.
Absolutely. For whatever reason, there was just needing to be an acknowledgement of money.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it is just a representation. That's why I said it's tired of being used as a scapegoat.
Mm-hmm.
It's tired of being used as almost like I see like self-flagellation, you know, like the old priests used to beat themselves with a whip.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of do that a lot, actually, all of us, when we get involved in stopping our hearts and stopping the flow of receiving. And so it's like literally what?
Enslaving.
Yeah, it has to do with that whole enslavement. We're enslaved with our old belief systems. It's our old belief systems enslaving us. That's like the jailer and the slave master. There's even something deeper than that. But it's like, okay, so these old belief systems, these old jailers, it's still history. It's history. It's like, get out of our history, people. Quit repeating our history. It's quite clear when we do the family constellations, it's quite clear the ancestors do not want us to continue this path. It's like, let it go, let it flow is what I'm seeing. And I'm seeing the earth again and the rivers and the oceans.
someone once said that some of these things that we're believing in, especially in religion, they're outdated. Not to be misplaced and saying, oh, they're all wrong. That's not what I'm saying. It's actually been said that, this is actually the Dalai Lama said that some of those beliefs that we're living by and with and in are outdated. They're no longer serving us as to for what they used to serve 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, or even, you know, 50 years ago. And so it's time to understand, respect, and move forward with new updated, you know, version 6.0, you know, or, you know, human 2.0, whatever you want to call it. Time to move on. And again, the physical body has moved forward, but our nervous system has yet to catch up sometimes because we're still in the old pattern of survival. And the technology and the knowledge and wisdom that we carry has given us the opportunity to actually go beyond that. And we're starting to dabble with it. We have yet to build the muscle in our nervous system, in our brains, to cope with the new way of being, of oneness, with the new way of being, with frequencies and energies that we're talking about. And some people don't even believe in the energy work that we do and that is present. And when somebody says it, I have another wonderful example for that one. It's like, how come we don't believe in energy work? You know, and then I ask the simple question, do you believe in love? And if yet you hear someone, I don't believe in love. But if you do believe in love, then love is an energy only. And this energy carries from heart to heart, from human to human, from animal to human, and vice versa.
Okay.
It is a present. It's an energy. And so if you believe in love, then I dare you to say I don't believe in energy work. Because then you don't believe in love either. Because love is nothing else but energy.
Okay, that comes to disentangling love from all of the old belief systems as well. Like love has been a prisoner. Love has been all entangled in all of these conditions with why I love you or why I don't. And that's not real love, but it's been all this, it's been all entangled in the definition of love. So now it's like we're disentangling that.
Love became another very complex thought rather than a simple energy. We made it so complicated by having to wear a ring. We have it made so complicated by driving the better car or a beautiful home or having the most elaborate dress on to get married or whatever it is, you know, the most fanciest good-looking man, the most fanciest good-looking woman. And so it's all in our heads and our visionaries as to how it's supposed to be. And love is so simple, and we make it so complex. And it gets lost in that entanglement, which then money plays a big role into it as well.
Exactly.
Because money has
value. And that goes into the saying that you know, people are meant to be loved. People and animals are meant to be loved. Anything with life is meant to be loved. Anything. But things alone are what are meant to be used.
I think all is meant to be loved, actually.
Yes, but the part that's coming up is that, but there are things that are also meant to be used.
Yeah,
there are tools that we use to create a certain, we use tools to build a house.
Yes.
We use things to create things.
Yes.
And so the defining point here is that, you know, people, animals, plants, living things are meant to be loved.
Yes.
Other things are meant to be used, and it's gotten confused. That a lot of the collective consciousness has been that people, animals, plants, the earth is meant to be used instead of being loved. And what's being loved is cars and computers and
yes,
inanimate, quote-unquote, inanimate objects, although everything has energy, and I understand that, but I'm talking about from the relative perspective.
I get it. Yeah, thank you for clarifying that, because, yeah, I got to clarify this somehow, because it felt a little bit still off. But, yes, that's perfect.
And so there's confusion around what really is meant to be loved.
Yes. Well, and it's the whole proving of love. It's like, okay, if you love me, you'll buy me this car or this house. So they're, in a sense, they're still using these things, but they're using them to enslave and snare and hook love into. So it's, again, we just need to peel that away. So all that's left is love, because that's really all there is anyway.
John Lennon said that, right?
Yeah. Then he got shot. That's history. We got to peel that away.
But I want to kind of go back to something that Norman said earlier, too, that's coming up. It's like we're bringing this piece around again. It's not about changing your faith.
No.
It's really about what's the updated version that really allows you to be fully present in your life today, that allows you to exercise that faith to its fullest. It's that up, like Norman said, it's like coming back to that place of updating this to where you can operate at your fullest.
Yes.
In your most vibrant, vital way.
And
your most connected to God and Source way.
Yes.
The most authentic.
The most heart way. I'm listening way. The I'm listening way. This is what we're doing. It's like, you know, I tell people over and over again, they're like, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm just learning to listen and do as I'm told. So it's really about learning to listen to that heart space, which is where the truth comes through. I'm recognizing that there is relative truth. So it's about tapping into this differentiation without making it complicated, just listening deeper and deeper and deeper. And then acting from that space. Acting from that space is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Taking positive action. And Norman just said responding, and there's truth to that, too. Even taking positive action is responding to talk from within. We all have them. We all have these calls from within, but how many times have we had these calls and then we've done nothing with them? It's like the universe is saying, time to step up. Yeah, that feels good. I actually see that kind of as a formula, just kind of all sinking in at the heart level. So it's like every individual heart, like taking and soaking this all in, and it vibrating and radiating out to almost like that heart sun that I usually post with the new moon session. It's like all that energy and all that love going through each heart on this call and everybody that intended in this call and radiating out the collective heart.
When it's that place of the heart that allows us to receive.
Yes.
And it's a place of the heart that allows us that we have to receive in order to give.
Yeah, and we can't give unless we receive.
Mm-hmm.
Can't truly give unless we receive. So unless we can give to ourselves, we can't give to anyone else, not purely.
It's the place of the heart, too, that allows us to access our passion and our creativity and our joy.
Yeah, that's the other thing. We have this definition, again, around love, that around heart space, that says that if I'm coming from my heart, it has to be this timid, sugary, sweet little energy, and that's not the heart at all. The heart is a courageous, passionate fire that can be sweet, but it's not like this sugary, sweet, fake. It's like it's like burning away the fakeness.
Mm-hmm.
Opening up the purity of the heart.
The sugar is just the sweetness, the fuel of the fire.
It's like we're balancing wood and fire element at the same time.
Beautiful.
And the fear has been if I allow the fire element to be stoked or heightened, that it'll move me into anger.
Or burn me up. Burn me alive. We've experienced that.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, it actually, Norman just said it's called hell. So...
coming to the earth element.
Good.
We're doing some balancing with the earth element as well around again around receiving and around feeling.
Ah, that's beautiful because it taps into that pause of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
It says I'm going to take a breath now.
Yeah.
And when I do, I'll feel. Instead of, I'm going to hold my breath, and I'm not going to feel this. Nice, and I actually feel like the other elements are like metal and water, like the five elements are just coming in and they're all harmonizing in a specific order.
Yeah, it feels that way.
So they're not, one's not overrunning the other, they're actually nurturing through the meridians, through the body, through the veins in our bodies, through our nervous system. So through our systems in our body, it's harmonizing the elements so that we come back into harmony with our own elemental nature and the elemental nature of the earth and our connection to that.
And I want to make this more graphically understandable. When we talk about, you know, these elements support through each other and through all everything, and we talked about the heart. And I think most people, most of us, think when they think of the heart space, they think of that space between our ribs and slightly on the left side. And yet what we actually talk about is that subtle body heart, that subtle energy of heart. And so when we talk about the five elements who go through it, they're not going through the meat of the heart, but they're going through the spaces in between the meat.
Not through both.
Well, they're going through it, but they're going through the energy field. And so I just want to clarify this, that it is, when we understand this energetic field of the heart, the empty spaces where all these elements and all these emotions and everything goes through, when you understand this through space, it makes it really understandable as to what when we talk about energy and our heart space or love energy. Again, it's not a physical thing. It's literally a subtle thing that goes to all of us, to all levels. And the earth is just very, very, you know, very three-dimensional for us because we step on it. But boy, there's so much space in between those elements.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much in the macro and the micro way.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many spaces in between. And if we understand those spaces, then we can create anything and we are able to move forward into everything and anything that we want, believe, and understand especially. So that we can get out of the old belief systems and move into the new possibilities, human 2.0. We can step forward. The nervous system is capable of then stepping forward into this new way of understanding what through means. The spaces that are full of that what you really want. Full of that what you really desire and believe in. The faith. It's not an actual thing. It's an energy between those spaces that you see physically. Just try to imagine the spaces in between of the heart space. Make it a reality. These spaces are actual realities that form the heart, that form the love. You understand that, and once you do, watch out where we can go.
Mm-hmm.
Then the full moon comes into full perspective of creating something new.
Mm-hmm.
The new moon. That's a full moon. The new moon, sorry. And then the new moon becomes what it's actually meant to be, a new moment of creation, a new moment of now.
Mm-hmm.
So take your intention, send it through the spaces, and watch it become reality. And it expands and expands and builds things that you have never imagined before. It creates things that were unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
You can fly? Yeah, I can fly.
Mm-hmm.
You can love? Yes, I can love. After all that happened to you? Yes, I can love. After all that happened to your country, all that happened to your ancestors? Yes, I can love. All those devastations between religions, yes, I still love.
Mm. That feels like a beautiful ending space, Teresa. How about you?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Okay. I'll unmute everybody.